Parshas Va'era, Hashem says to Moshe to take his stick, take his matzah, and throw it down in front of Pari. It will become a snake, a tanin. A tanin and a nachash are the same thing. Just a tanin, it's similar to a nachash, but it lives in the water. You look in Rashi says tanin, nachash. The difference between a tanin and a nachash is the nachash is on the land and a tanin is in the water. I don't know what species it is. A water nachash. I know what that is. What? There's such a thing?
Yeah.
So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Aaron to take the matzah and throw it down in front of Pari, it will become a snake. And they come and they talk to do that, and Pari calls his magicians, and they also do it, and Aaron's stick swallows up their sticks. An interesting story. The story itself sometimes gets swallowed up. Because it's like the story of the Makkos already starting. So we don't remember that part of it so much. We have Daman a few psukim later. What was the Inyan? What did Hashem want? Before we start the 10 Makkos, we should do this little trick in front of Pari. And it's not really such a trick, because Pari's magicians could do it too. But do this little thing in front of Pari, make this little demonstration, this little maifus. Throw the stick down in front of him, and it will become a snake. What's the point of this? Okay, there's a fascinating little thing over here in the Tanchuma and in the Mishnah. On these psukim, the parasha starts that when you speak to Pari, when Pari speaks to you and he asks you to give him maifus, you should do this thing, you should throw the stick down. So there's a Medrash Tanchuma on this pasuk, Yedaber Aleichem Pari Lemar. And the Medrash said, I'm just going through the questions quickly because I don't want to. We'll get back to it, we'll slow down as soon as we finish the questions. Ki Yedaber Aleichem Pari Lemar. Zach the Medrash Tanchuma. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu. Teach us how Rebbe should teach us. Misha Omad Lehispal. Someone got up to Davin. And a snake came and bit him. Mahu sheyapsik. Can he stop? The Mefarshim explained that it's not a psychonist nevashas. Could he stop? Kach shonu rabbi. Say what it says? We have a Mishnah. Ha'imid b'tfila. Someone who's davening. Afilu ha'melech shayel b'shleimai lo yashivenu. Even if a melech says shalom aleichem, he shouldn't answer. Afilu nachash karuch al akeva, even if a snake is wrapped around his ankle, lo yafsek, he shouldn't interrupt. This is all on this parasha here, throwing the stick down to become a snake. Maisa b'Reb Chanina ben Doisa shayi oimedu mespal. I think this is a Gemara also. There's a Maisa b'Reb Chanina ben Doisa that he was davening. Bo aroid v'nachshay, and aroid is also some type of nachash, and aroid came and bit him.
But it's
a lashon different.
It's a lashon
different between
that
and the
rabbi.
What? A lashon that says it's actually nachash. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. Ubaruchu atalmidim, and the talmidim ran away. They saw a snake come and bite their rabbi. After a time, bo umatzu oisai aroid mace. They came and found that the snake had died. Amru, they said, vayloi la'adam shenashchay aroid. How terrible it is for a person who's bitten by an aroid. I think it's just a correction. I think an aroid is a type of chaya. I have to look it up. I don't think it's a nachash. Maybe it's similar to a nachash. I think it's called a chaya. Anyhow, they said, "Vayloi la'adam shenashchay aroidu." You know, it's terrible for a person who's bitten by an aroid. But vayla aroid shepaga by Reb Chanina ben Daisa. But it's terrible for an aroid that meets up with Reb Chanina ben Daisa. Beautiful story. Zakti Gemara Umaro Chachamim Lahakish Krichas Nachash Lamalchus Mitzrayim. And why did the Chachamim put together the Nachash wrapping itself around and Malchus Mitzrayim? So the Gemara brings some psukim and some similarities between Nachash and Mitzrayim. An interesting thing. It's true that this is a halacha that has to do with a Nachash. It actually uses the name Nachash. And it's true that we're talking here about a nachash. And it's true that there are similarities between Mitzrayim and a nachash. But I still want to know. I'm still not satisfied. I still want to know why, when I'm reading the parsha of Aaron, specifically this parsha of Aaron throwing the matzah down in front of Pharaoh, the Medrash Tanchuma has to teach me this halacha that when someone's davening and a snake bites him, he shouldn't interrupt his davening. Should we bring in any halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says the word nachash? We should also pack in here because it says nachash. It's Aleph. And Beis, it says nachash before also in the Chumash a few times. Why does the Medrash Tanchuma says, oh, Mitzrayim, Nachash, really, you mentioned Nachash already, but Aaron's throwing his matzah down, it's becoming a Nachash. Oh, let's learn the halacha, so what happens when a person's davening and a snake bites them? What's the connection specifically to this halacha? Okay, so that's question 8. Question 9, while we're on the topic of this halacha, let's look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the beginning of the fifth parak in Brachas. The afilu nachash karuch ala kevay lo yafsik. So the Tosfos Yontov brings, it's brought in the Rishonim, lo yafsik bedibur. He shouldn't be mafsik by talking. Specifically, talking is asa. Could you get this nachash off me? You can't be mafsik bedibur. The ilu halicha lo matzino b'shum makim shenikra hafsik. Just to walk around, like to shake it off, that's not called a hefsek. And I saw once, I didn't see it today, but I saw once that they bring a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in front of Hashem, standing in front of the snake, was talking to Hashem. That's why you don't have a greater amida lehispanel than that. He was standing and receiving a nevuah. And he threw down his matzah and it became a nachash. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He ran away. B'chayr, it's a hefsek. It says, afilu nachash karuch ala kevay. So it must be that running away is not a hefsek. It must be, it's only talking that's a hefsek. Al karuch. Why? That's what I want to know. I want to know why. Why dafka talking? Okay, in this parsha of Aaron throwing down his stick and it's becoming a snake, the Balaturim is medayik. Ki yedaber aleichem paroi leimar tenu lechem moifes yomarta laran kachas macha v'hashlech lefnei paroi, throw it in front of paroi, yehi lesanin. It should say v'yehi lesanin, and it will become a snake. It's not proper. Imagine in English. Throw down your stick, it'll be a snake. It's not. It's broken English. And it will be a snake. V'yehi lesanin. What's throw it in front of Pharaoh. Yehila sanin. So zok the balaturim. The pshat is that part of what Aaron was supposed to do was he was supposed to throw down his matzah and then he was supposed to say the words Yehila sanin. He was supposed to command with his mouth to command the matzah to turn into a snake. It's an unbelievable balaturim. After you throw it down, emor la mata, tell the mata, yehi lesanin, kidei sheyishma paroi, so the paroi should hear, shalpi diburcha yachzor lesanin, that through your words it became a snake. Why? It's not a big enough trick that he threw it down and it became a snake? Why does it have to be, he threw it down and it became a snake? That's pretty incredible to me. Why does it have to be that he throws it down and he says yehi lesanin and it turns into a snake? What's the purpose of that little added knach in the maifis? I don't know, does it make it a bigger maifis that he said the words Yehi Lasanin? Once you could make it into a snake, you know, what's the... Okay, let's move to the end of Parshas Va'era.
Paroi's magicians have to do with Hebrew also?
That's a good question. Yeah, Taka says.
Vayasu came, right?
It says, Vayasu gam heim chatu mim serim belahatehem. They use their...
It says came.
Whatever it is. Okay.
So it means like just like Moshe did.
Yeah, but it even says Mefurish, Belahatehem, that it was with their... Belahatehem is like whatever they mumbled, whatever.
Belahatehem means sticks, no?
No, Belahatehem is their... Belahashehem, with their whispers. The end of Parshas Va'era, the last makah in Parshas Va'era is the makah of Barod. I want to understand the pshat and two psukim in Parshas Barot, and then we'll be ready to put this all together. Okay, so the Barad falls, and Paray goes crazy. He calls Moshe and Aaron. He says, "Chatosi ha'poam Hashem atzadik va'ani va'ami harishayim." Hashem is the tzadik, and me and my nation are rishayim. It's mamash avidei. My grandfather, Zecharon Lebracha, used to say Agav. He used to say that even there, Paray wasn't completely ready to be made. He said Paray really meant Chatosi ha'poam Hashem atzadik va'ani. The Ami Harishon. So he's the. But the Pashuk Pshat, Hashem Atzadik Va'ani Va'ami Harishon, and myself and my nation are Harishon. Daven to Hashem, and this noise and this borot should stop, and I'll send you out, and so on. So Hashem, so Moshe says to Paray, I'll go out of the city and I'll daven to Hashem. The noise will stop. The borot will stop. And so that you should know that there's a Hashem. But you and your servants, Yodati, he says. Yodati ki terem tirun mipnei Hashem Elikim. What does that mean? So Rashi says, ki terem tirun mipnei Hashem Elikim means, like, still not. You still haven't reached the point that you're Shemayim. It still hasn't happened. Adayin loy tirun. You still don't have Yiras Shemayim. I know. Ki terem tirun. It still hasn't happened that you'll have Yiras Shemayim. This Gantzamaka is not going to give you Yiras Shemayim. That's what Rashi learns. The Ramban brings an Eben Ezra that slugs up the Rashi. Says terem doesn't mean that. Terem means before. The word terem means before. So the Ramban learns pshat. Yodati ki terem, very very cute chat. Excuse me for saying so. Ki terem tirun ifnei Hashem Elikim means that before you'll have Yiras Shemayim. In other words, right now you're mamish full of charata and vidui, and you're saying Hashem atzadik va'ani va'ami Yiras Shemayim. Terem, before the mak is over. Tirun ifnei Hashem Elikim. That's when you have Yiras Shemayim. But as soon as the mak is over, your Yiras Shemayim is over too. Yodati ki terem, before the mak is over, tirun ifnei. You look like such a big tzaddik now. As soon as the mak stops, you're going to stop being such a big tzaddik. The question is, what was the point of Moshe saying this, and what was the point of this being included in the account of Yetzias Mitzrayim? That Moshe had been warned Paray that it's not going to, you know, that the Yiras Shemayim, his Yiras Shemayim is not going to last. Each part of the dialogue between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was supposed to add something, some quality to the sipur. We don't need to know all the arguments back and forth and back and forth. It's not, every time we find Moshe Rabbeinu said something to Paray, something to teach us, something for us to learn from it. Not just, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu said something really cute to Paray. It's not, there's some limud here for us. So we have to try to figure out what that limud is. And for question 12, is that... The pasuk is Mayrach over here to tell us exactly which grains were hurt by the barad and which ones weren't. The ones that weren't yet ripe were not damaged. The ones that were already hard were destroyed by the barad. So the pasuk says, "Va'pishta va'sa'ira nukasa." The pishta and the sa'ira were damaged. Yes, sa'ira aviv va'pishta giva. Rashi explains different stages of its development, of its ripening, that made it hard enough that it'll get destroyed. "Va'chita va'kusemes." The chita and kusemes, which are different species of wheat, loy nuku. We did not get destroyed by the barad, because they were late. They were still young. They were still fresh. So therefore, when the barad fell, they were able to flatten down and come back up again after the barad was finished. So again, what's the point of this The Torah tells exactly which meanim, that these meanim got destroyed, these meanim don't get destroyed. What Mabozel Landana, what is this coming to teach us? There's no extra psukim over here. Okay, and finally, next Shabbos, we're not going to be here anymore. You're not going to be here anymore. Next Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol. Dr. Tour, Simon Tuf Lamed in Arachayim. Shabbos Shalofnei HaPesach, the Shabbos before Pesach, Koyren Oisai Shabbos HaGadol. Because a big mess happened on that day. What happened? Because they took the sheep for the Korban Pesach. Yitzias Mitzrayim was on Thursday. So that means that 4 days before was Shabbos. Four full days before is Shabbos. So what happened? He said the Mitzrayim saw them taking the sheep. And the Mitzrayim said, what are you taking this for? And they said that we're taking it to Shecht, and everyone knows that the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim was the sheep. Their teeth were weak, or grinding their teeth, exactly what chaos is, because that they're shechting their gods, and they weren't allowed to say anything to them. They probably couldn't say anything. The Yidden were taking sheep for Korban Pesach, and the Mitzrayim were powerless. Because of that nest, it's called Shabbos HaGadol. So again, we know that the words of Chazal are in complete diktuk. I want to know why it's not Shabbos HaNes, Shabbos HaNiflo, Shabbos HaNeira, Shabbos HaSeh. Why Shabbos HaGadol? So it was a big nest, it was a great nest, it was a strong nest. Why Dafka Shabbos HaGadol? Why that word? Okay, so as we've done many, many times, to understand the parashas of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and to understand many parashas in the Torah, we have to go back to the beginning of the Torah. In the beginning of the Torah are the Sharashim, and out from those Sharashim sprout all the Yesaidis that help us understand the rest of the Torah. So we'll talk a little bit about the beginning of the Torah, about Adam Arishan, and then we'll come back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we'll see the questions clarifying themselves. Okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in 6 days. And he created it full of Brias and full of constellations and animals and Yamim, a tremendous, tremendous and complex world for one purpose. Because on the sixth day, he created an Adam. And that Adam is the tachlis of the whole Bria of the Shemayim Va'aretz, the purpose of the whole Bria Shemayim Va'aretz. So that Adam should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Adam is different than all the other animals, as we've spoken about many times, that Adam is a Baal Seichel, he has intelligence, and he has Ruchnias, and all the other animals are physical. Therefore, since the Adam is the one who's the Baal Seichel, he's the one with the Kayach Hadas, that's why he's the Nivra that has a Kaima Zakufa, that has a straight back. His head is on top. Adam's head is on top, and his whole body is underneath. That's a remez to the Seichel of the Adam, that's the Melech, and all the Kaiches HaGuf of the Adam are packed underneath that Seichel. In animals, horizontal. His Seichel and his Guf, they work together. There's no Shlita of the Seichel over the Guf. There's the brain of the animal, there's the stomach of the animal, it's all one behema gashmi. There's no special shlita of the das over the rest of the behema. So that's taka the way the behema is created, that it's flat, it's horizontal. That's the difference, that an adam walks straight up and a behema walks flat. Then Adam Rishon did the chait. This we know, the Gemara describes in Chagiga, the Gemara describes the tremendous yirida that Adam had through this chet. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous yirida. It's described, it's mamash chilling words, it's described in Chazal as, Heiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kapoy Olav, Hashem put his hand on him, Umiyatoy, and made him small. Hashem made Adam smaller. Adam became smaller. The greatness of the Tzura of Adam is now only a shadow of his former self. To the extent that Adam's Tzura becomes smaller, the differentiation between man and behemoth is less nicker, is less clear. When Adam is in his full madrega, the full godless of Adam, says that the Adam's ankle outshone the sun, the Pirkei Rabbeinu brings, the full grandeur and godless of the Tzuras Adam, the Kedusha of Adam, so then it was an obviously different world. Adam is one Bria, the Behemoths are a completely different Bria, it's clear. As Adam is Nismait, he becomes more on the same level as Behemoths, as animals. We've discussed this, we're not going to go into this now, but we've discussed that the Dar HaFloga and the Dar HaMabel were also steps in the Yerida of Adam. And we talk of find, after the Mabel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he's not going to let animals destroy Adam. Miad Kol Chaya Adrashanu. He's going to be Taveya the animals if they kill an Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll read you the Rashi in a second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mazhir the animals not to attack people after the Mabel. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazhir the animals right away when Adam was created? As soon as Adam was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have told the animals not to attack Adam. Zokt Rashi, that now that the Dor HaMabel happened, Nimshal ka behema is nidmu, Adam started acting like a behema. We once went through Barichos, the Ramban, in the end of Bereshis. V'shagam hu basar. Adam became more gashmi. Adam became more, less ruchniistic and more besari. He became more like a behema. So now the behemas don't have this ema, this awe, this obvious differentiation between them and an Adam, that they can't attack an Adam. In other words, be'etzem, the way Adam was supposed to be, the madrega that he's supposed to be on, an animal can't attack an Adam. Not because the Adam is dafka stronger or can do something to hurt it. It's like a higher min. It's greater than the animal. An Adam is greater. There was no need to warn the animals not to attack Adam. It was clear, an animal understood not to attack an Adam. So Rashi, but when Adam started to act like a behemoth, so then already wasn't so clear. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be mazir, make some kind of protection for the Adam. It's in the sheet. This is what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, "Ein aroid meimis, ela hachet meimis." The Gemara says, the animal is not what kills a person. When an animal attacks a person and kills him, it's not the animal that killed him, it's his aveiros that killed him. What does that mean? So, my Rabbeim told me that the pshat is not that it's because he did an aveiros that he got this punishment. Since he did Averis, he's more like an animal. As it says, I think the Gemara says that an animal does not attack an Adam. Ad shenidma olav kebehema. An animal does not attack an Adam unless the animal thinks that the Adam is a behema. You imagine? If the animal knows that the Adam is an Adam, he would not attack. The only time an animal attacks an Adam is if he thinks, I think it's a Gemara in Brachas, so he thinks that the Adam is a behema. It's mamash this vart. If the person becomes like a behema, that he's chayte, He doesn't serve the Rebbeinu Shalom properly. He doesn't stand out special as an Adam. So then he doesn't have that special protection of being that higher min called Adam.
What is the name of the killed him? What
was his name? It killed the animal.
Right.
You had to make the mistake. I don't know. It's a good kasha. That's a good point. Okay. Josh? Okay. Okay, so that's Adam Arishan. The fascinating thing, we discussed the Chet of Adam a few times. I don't think we ever brought out clearly this relationship between the ability of an animal to attack an Adam and the miyot of the kaima of Adam. Okay. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel. You hear it quoted a lot. I wanted to make sure that we should know where it is and where the Gemara says that we should be backed up a little bit. We shouldn't just be throwing around psukim that we don't know what they are. The pasuk is in Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Lamed Aleph. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Adam Atem. You are Adam. Zot Rashi, Ein chem ke behemos be'einai. You're not like behemos in my eyes. You're Adam. Adam Atem. Zot Gemara in Yevamos. Adam Atem. Atem kruyim Adam. You, Klal Yisrael, are called Adam. Ve'ein oivdei kechavim kruyim Adam. Goyim are not called Adam. So this means like this. This means that although the Adam Rishon was Nismayit, he did the Chet, and he did the Mabel, and the Dor HaFloga, and so on, and there was a Miyot of the Kaima of Adam, and he's now a shadow of his former self, that's just until the Leida of Klal Yisrael in the world. When Klal Yisrael was born, to a certain extent, it was completed by Matan Torah, and then it was taken away again by the Hegel, but to a certain extent, this min of Adam, this special Adam, for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, returned. The Adam that's Klal Yisrael is that Adam, before he was Nismait.
Yeah, Thomas says it's the head.
What?
The
Bain Tam says it's not, I think. It's a
guy, he's
Ha'adam. A guy is Ha'adam, yeah.
So why?
How
does it stem this?
What do you mean?
Tasha says a different thing about
Goyim. Is that by Yidden it's Adam and by Goyim it's Ha'adam. I think because Adam without the Hay is referring to the person Adam. It's a remnant to the Adam. To the one who was Adam. Adam, you are Adam. To say you are the Adam means you are the species of human being. Okay, so Goyim are the species called human beings. But to say you are Adam, that's saying that you are what Adam Arishan was. You are that man, Adam. That's what I think the Pshat is. Ha'adam is the min of the min ha'anoishi. Ha'adam. Like Habehema. Yeah, Homo sapien.
Is that lost after the
Egel
also?
Ask me afterwards, I'll clarify that.
This was called the Egel?
Yeah, the difference between before the Egel and after the Egel, I'll explain after the share. I don't want to get distracted with it.
This happened.
This happened B'Shas Yitzias Mitzrayim. I know I spoke a few weeks ago about what happened B'Shas Matan Torah and the Egel. I don't want to get into that right now. So an amazing thing is happening by Yetzias Mitzrayim. An amazing thing. It's not just a nation getting freed, but it's mamash a nation being born. A new Adam is being created. Such a min did not exist in the world. We only had a shadow of Adam. We had a little shadow, a little fraction of Adam that existed in the world before Yetzias Mitzrayim. And with the creation of a Klal Yisrael, suddenly a new Adam existed now in the world. A new Adam. A new, more powerful, greater Adam. And the whole power, the greatness is that this is the Adam that the world was created for. Bishvil Yisrael Shanikarashis. This is the Adam that Hashem had in mind. Okay, what brought Adam down from his Maila? The Chayt from the Eitz Hadas. Who was Gairim that he should be Chayt from the Eitz Hadas? The Nachash. The Nachash is the anti-Adam. The Nachash is the one who's trying to bring down the Adam. Who's trying to prevent the Adam from doing his job. That's what the Nachash represents. So that's why we find that Paroi, who's the one who tried to prevent the Leida of Klal Yisrael, Paroi tried to prevent this Adam from going out on the scene. Paroi tried to prevent that this Atem Kruyim Adam, Adam Atem, shouldn't exist. That the Psukim call Paroi a Nachash. In more than one place, I'll read you one pasuk, but in more than one place, the Psukim call Paroi a Nachash or Mitzrayim a Nachash, because the Nachash is trying to pull Adam down, to take him away from his goal, to take him away from his tafkid of being that Adam. Right, and that's Paroi, who's trying to hold Klal Yisrael into Mitzrayim.
But why would he want to do that?
Why would Paroi want to do that?
Why don't we just want to become the Adam? If there's no Klal Yisrael, then he can become the Adam.
Ask me this after.
Why, they were that, though.
Why women are less Adam?
Why women? What do you mean?
You only destroyed the man. There's Chara.
Oh, why Paroi just want... I don't know. I have to think about it. His problem was with the women also. You see that even... you see the other side of the coin, because later on he said that the men should go and the women should stay. You see that he was worried about the women. By the later, I thought,
yes, I
oh, wow, yeah. The truth is that according to the Medrash, it's not sure. He had a different plan for the Medrash says that he wanted the Nashim for Znus. That would have destroyed him in a different way. He just had a different. What? Yeah, but the way that he divided up to kill the men into it says in Benhu v'amita noisay in basi v'chaya. So the Medrash says, of course, if it says to kill the sons, it means not to kill the daughters. So he says, no, keep them alive for the purpose of znus. The Medrash says. So it could be that was being metama bein hanachrim is another way of destroying. But this is the hisnagdus that Paroi has to the inyan of Leida, the concept of Leida, because Paroi sensed, and I'll tell you a gevaldige power in a minute about that. Paroi understood that Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim will be the most incredible Leida, the most incredible birth of a new Tzuras Adam, and therefore he expressed his hisnagdus in the form of a hisnagdus to Leida. Rashi said a few years ago on Shabbos Chol Hamoed, Pesach, that this generation, these last few years, there's a lot of hisnagdus to Leida. A lot of hisnagdus to Leida, with all the different machleiksin and court cases and publicity about abortion. There's a tremendous movement of hisnagdus to Leida in the world. And he suggested that it could be, because you think it's Mitzrayim is called a Leida, you might say Mashiach is also called a Leida. Mashiach coming is also called a Leida. And he suggested that it could be that somewhere deep down, the Ummah Sa'ilim feel this impending, tremendous Leida. And this also expresses itself in anti-birth. There's something that birth represents that's scary to them. So similarly, that's the Indian of Paroi also. Paroi was anti-birth. It was the concept of Leida was scary to Paroi, and that's why he could have said they should kill older people. He was the Melech. He could have done it any way he wanted, but he dafka pointed his gzeira dafka to the Indian of Leida, because it was Leida that scared him. Birth scared him because there was going to be a Leida of a new Ummah, a Leida of a new Adam. Let me just read the pasuk that describes Paroi as a snake. Good. Daber v'yomart Choftes Gimel in Yecheskel. Daber v'yomart Kay Omar Hashem Elikim Hineni Olecha Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. Mitzuda says, I'm coming to, in English we don't say this literally, I'm on to you, Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. We say, we don't use those words literally. Mitzuda says, I'm coming to be Leichem against you, Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. Hatanim Hagodol, the big Tanin, like Yehila Sanin. Haroyves Vesaych Ya'irav, that waits in his waters. Asher Omar that said, that Paroi said, Li Ya'iri, the Nile is mine. Ba'ani asisini, and I created myself. He made himself a god. But you see clearly that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, in his Nevuot Yecheskel, says, calls Paroi Hatanin HaGadol, the great snake, the great nachash. Rashi in Parashat Shemot says Tanin is a nachash. So that's Paroi's hisnagdus to the Lady of Klal Yisrael. Miriam and Yecheved are exactly the opposite. They were told, you have to realize, Stam in the Mesiris Nefesh of it, it's mamish awe-inspiring. They were told to kill these babies. That's what they were told. If they would have just not killed the babies, that would have already been, they're already Chayav Misa for that. They're already being married by Malchus. They're already now listening to what Paroi said. They were told to kill the babies. And they didn't kill the babies. But they didn't do that. They did every pitchavka, every little knesha they could do to make the baby 100% perfect, comfortable, healthy, mishaperes esavlad. They spoke to the child. They made the baby mamash perfect. Not enough that they didn't kill the baby. They actually worked on making the baby as comfortable as possible at great personal risk. That's exactly the opposite of Paroi. They're specifically and tremendously machshev the inyan of Leda. They understand how great the birth of every Yid is, and they understand how great the Leda of Klal Yisrael is. The rule is that someone's name is changed, or someone's called a certain thing, when it's a reflection of their identity. So I said, if Reuven becomes a dentist and Shimon becomes a lawyer, we don't call Reuven dentist and Shimon lawyer. That's because Reuven's identity is not dentist, and Shimon's identity is not lawyer. It's a profession. But what?
Wasn't called Edom?
What do you mean?
I think I saw Edom, because he said that he saw the things.
Yeah, that's mamash an insignificant thing. I don't know offhand the answer, but probably it's something to do with the fact that it's you have to know in the parasha what it's from. So it's meramis to the whole inyan of Ritzicha. That's the whole midah of Rome. The midah of Rome, the midah of Esav, is the midah of Ritzicha, and that's meramis in the word Edom. That's the red.
Because he
said ha'adayim ha'adayim hazeh. Yeah. But you see, I think that they. I think I said.
That's why the sky was blessed and bathing. That's a humble house.
Yeah, that's true. By Esav, I think I don't remember who it is. I think someone says that you see that his midah was Edom. It's not that because he called said Adam Adam Azeh. People describe things based on what they see in them. He could have said this tavshel Azeh. He could have said these beans Azeh. He said this red stuff because that's what called to him. That's what spoke to him. I think I once heard such a thing. So that's Taka, a reflection of himself. You know, people see themselves in everything. He said, Ha'adam Adam. He said, why do you describe it like that? Why do you say these beings? Why do you say this hot stuff? Why do you say Ha'adam Azeh? Because Adam was his midah. Still needs more, but I think that's the.
Why was Avram called only Avram afterwards, like after he's Makaw Allah?
Okay, that's a. That's a whole shmooze. So that's why Miriam's called Shifra, Miriam's called Pua, and Yecheved is called Shifra. It's not Stam, oh, by the way, she used to do this, and by the way, she used to do that, so therefore I'm giving them a name change. No, the Torah says that's what they're called, because that's their identity. The fact that she was Mishaperes HaSavlad, and the fact that she was paya, that she spoke, that she calmed down the child, that showed what they were. That showed how much they were machshav the leida of every child in Klal Yisrael and the whole concept of leida. So that's why the Torah calls them, like we know the famous klal that the word shame and the word sham are the same word. Because a person's identity is in his name. So the Torah in this parasha, not permanently, in other parashas they're not called that, Miriam is called Miriam for the rest of the Torah, but in this parasha he doesn't just say Miriam and she's also in the Aledas. It calls her Pua. Because it's a description of her identity, it's a description of what she was. That she was such a, she had that chashivas for Leida. Okay, I'm talking about the time. Okay, so we spoke before that let me just, I don't want to lose track of all the pieces here. I'm just going to speak out now. This whole chabura goes around one point. That the Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Leida of Adam, and Mitzrayim is trying to hold back, to be Mainea, to make sure that this Leida never happens. That's why Pari is like a Nachash that pulled down Adam originally, and he was misnaged to Leida, and so on. That's the one Yisayid of the Chabur. Everything else is going to go around that one central point. So we said, what's special about Adam? What is it about that describes the special Maila of Adam? So that's what we started with, that Adam is Baal Kaima Zakufa, that Adam walks straight. That's the remez of the Mata. The Mata, and I'm going to bring you a very good raya in a few minutes. The Mata represents Kaima Zakufa. The Mata is straight and tall. Some people say that a mata helps the person have his kaima zakufa, whichever nusach you want. But the mata represents like the shedra of a person, like the spine of a person. It's like the shape of a mata. That's what the mata represents this specialness of Adam.
Why does it take a ruach?
Because I said the word shedra, that's what I got you thinking. A lulav shakes around, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's the thing that's
connected to the shedra. Ask me why we take a lulav.
Even one.
Okay. And again, in a few minutes, I'll say a very stark raya to this.
Yeah.
So that's the pshat that the makas were done through a mata. It wasn't that Moshe needed a magic wand. The idea is to show like this: what's being menatzeach on Mitzrayim? Each maka shows a power of Klal Yisrael over Mitzrayim, right? That's each makkah is drilling in again and again the greatness of Klal Yisrael over Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing more havoc and more destruction in Mitzrayim because they're holding back Klal Yisrael. It's the power of Klal Yisrael that's causing every makkah. What power? The power of the impending Leida of Adam. What Adam? Adam who's the Baal Kaima. So we take this kaima, and with this kaima we do the makas. To show that it's the maila of Adam, that he's a bal seichel, that he's a bardas. It's the maila of Adam that's creating the kayach for these makas to happen. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring Adam to his full greatness, to his full godliness. And that's why we find again and again, and bring the mata, and bring the mata. Make sure when you come to Mitzrayim, you should come in with the mata, because that mata represents what's special about Adam. Chazal tell us that Adam Arishan before the Chet was born Mahol. Adam Arishan was created with a Mila. And when he did the Chet, that's when he got an Arla. And the fact that human beings are born with an Arla is a result of the Chet of Adam Arishan. And that's why Yidden, on the eighth day, take off the Arla, because we're Adam Atam. We're like Adam Arishan. So we don't belong with an Arla. So the Bris Mila is something that's miyuchad, it's special to Adam, to that Adam Atam. So Moshe Rabbeinu was on his way to Mitzrayim to bring about the Leida of Adam. And one of his own children doesn't have a Mila? That's what caused the tremendous kitrug. Dafka when he's going down to Mitzrayim. Until then, before he went down to Mitzrayim, he didn't have this kitrug. But dafka when he's heading down to Mitzrayim, that's what caused this tremendous kitrug. You're going down to cause the leida of Klal Yisrael? To cause the leida of Adam Atem, and your son doesn't have a milah? That's why it's dafka then, and that's the limud. That's why it's part of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's another point in the parashas that show us that what we're talking about here is the ma'ila of Adam Arishan. Okay, so now ready, I can stop the chabur here. You can figure out the rest yourself. That's the inyan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. That Aaron should throw the matah down in front of Pari and it should become a nachash, and then he should turn it back into a matah. If you look in the Baal HaTurim on this pasuk, he goes on to say kemat completely what I'm saying. He says a little bit of a different remez in matah, but the same idea. The idea of making the matah turn into a nachash and then turn back into a matah, and especially the idea of that the matah of Aaron swallowed all their matahs, is to show the power of Adam, of Klal Yisrael, over Mitzrayim, of Nachash.
His matah swallowed their nachashim?
Their matahs, it says. Vayiv lamata Aaron es matahisa. The Baal HaTurim adds over here that the idea is that the idea of the nachash turning into a matah is that a matah is dried out, is dead. It's dead wood. And the idea is to show that the nachash of Mitzrayim, the nachash which represents Mitzrayim, is going to become powerless like a matah. But according to what we're saying, it's more than that. It's that it's going to be taken over. It's going to be overpowered, overwhelmed by the matah representing Adam. What do you mean? Let's wait till
that. It wasn't so much turning the matah into the nachash.
As much as it turning back. Look at the Baal HaTurim when he says that. What separates an Adam from a behema? That he can speak. Kayach HaDibur. So at the Baal HaTurim, it's not enough that you should throw it down and it should become a nachash. The whole point over here is to show the strength of Adam over the nachash. So use your kayach HaDibur to make it into a nachash. Say to it, Yehi Lesanin. I'm in control of it, the Adam is in control. Josh, and that's even when it's turning into a nachash. So even the beginning of the Maiv is already demonstrating the power of Adam. Not enough to just throw it, and it's not a question that it's a bigger trick when you say it. It's the same trick. The idea is that that's more representative of what's going on. What's going on is to show that the kayach of Adam is coming back, is overwhelming, is conquering the kayach of nachash. So we dafka use that which makes an Adam, to throw something down that a monkey could do also. But to say Yehi Lesanin, to be able to have a Kayach HaDibur, that's unique to Adam.
And that's why the sticks of theirs are small?
Well,
if their Adam is nothing and the Nachash is better than them? Because that's why
they're stick, the Nachash
already
turned back to stick. I have to think about that. Why didn't just his?
Well, to say that the nachash is eating the Adam.
Maybe it's two steps. Maybe it's the Baal HaTurim with the
right.
With this. No, maybe their nachashim turned into matas. That shows, like
the Adam the same.
And then
nachash,
yeah. So
yeah,
maybe they're trying to show that they're also Adam. Maybe they're trying to say that they're also Adam.
What do you mean?
So in other words, you think that you're the
I don't know if they turned it back in.
They just turned itself.
Yeah, that I don't know. I have to check that. And that explains, obviously, why Moshe is very concerned. One second, I'm not the right person to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. I have a dibur problem. The whole inyan of taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim is the godless of Adam. And the whole thing that's unique about Adam is that he has a kayach hadibur. And I have a dibur problem. I should take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? That's what was bothering Moshe so much. It wasn't that I'm not going to be able to communicate. So use sign language. You'll figure out a way to communicate. The point is that Dibur is such a crucial thing over here, and I have a problem with my Kayach HaDibur. That's what was bothering Moshe. Okay. I hope it's a gevaldig zach. Everyone who learned Bava Kama is going to appreciate this very much. Mava ze
Adam.
Mava is Adam. There's a mazah called Mava in the beginning of Bava Kama. Ashar v'habor, amava v'ahever. Mava, it's a shayla what Mava is. Machlag is Rav and Shul. But according to one madam, Mava ze Adam. Why is Mava, why does the word Mava mean Adam? Because Mava, the Gemara explains, Lashon of Tefillah. Tzlaysayin uva'usayin. Mava is a Lashon of Tefillah. And so therefore, Mava ze Adam. So why did you just say Adam? And then they wouldn't have to be Machlag is Rav and Shul. According to the Madama, that it's Adam, why didn't it just say Adam? The Pshat is that that's a description of the identity of Adam, that he's a Mispala. There's that his Kayach HaDibur, and using his Kayach HaDibur, which is what makes him special over animals, and using his Kayach HaDibur to draw himself close to Hashem. That is Adam. Mave, a Mispala, Mave is a Mispala. A Mispala? A Bria that uses his Kayach HaDibur to draw himself close to Hashem? Ze Adam. That's Adam. That's a description. Revolve brings this in the very, very beginning of the first Chelek of Alei Shor. This Mava Ze Adam. I think it's Mamash in the first few Brachim. He has a short page there about Tefillah. I think he brings this Gemara. Mava Ze Adam. What? That you're using your Milas Adam for improper use. Maybe it's even worse than an Adam. So that could be what's going on over here. Of course, the Mishnah is a halacha about what you're allowed to use, what you're allowed to interrupt tefillah for, and what you're not allowed to interrupt tefillah for. But the choice of picking specifically a nachash over here, that when you're davening a nachash shouldn't stop you, that's because it's meramis to this whole concept that while you're in the middle of bringing into reality your full Maila Sa'adam, don't let the Nachash stop you. Don't be drawn back down by the Nachash. La ya'akvenu Nachash. Afilu Nachash karuch ala keva, even if a Nachash is wrapped around the lowest part of the Adam and it's trying to schlep him down, don't stop davening. Mav ze Adam. Continue to retain the Maila Sa'adam. And that's why the hefsek here that's a problem is not the walking around, is not shaking his leg. The hefsek that's around is the hefsek of Dibur. Don't stop being an Adam for the Nachash. You want to dance around the room to shake it off you, that's fine. That's fine. But don't stop being an Adam for the sake of the Nachash. That's Pshat in the Mishnah. And that's why, from all the places in Medrash Tanchuma, to discuss the din that you shouldn't let a nachash stop you from davening, is dafka over here, where Aaron HaKohen is throwing down his stick and it's becoming a tanin, and he's showing Kari that the kayach of the Adam is stronger than the kayach of nachash. Dafka, the parsha that shows that the kayach of Adam is stronger than the kayach of nachash, is the appropriate place for the Talmidim over here, Yilandenu Rabenu, to ask, what's the halacha when a person is davening and a nachash bites him? And the answer is, no, you don't stop when a nachash bites you, you keep davening. That's the parsha that happened over here. They're showing that the matah, the kaima of Adam, is stronger.
But the Gemara, you could say that staying in one's place is better, because we see the nachash die, but we just walk around. So
I don't know. That really goes back to the Nashi's question. How did the aroid ever end up biting? And this, that the aroid over there died, is obviously because you don't start up with the true Adam. A behema can't start up with the true Adam. The purpose, we're saying, the pnimius of what's going on when you have a mishnah that says that a person who's davening shouldn't stop when a nachash wraps himself around him. The pnimius of that mishnah is saying that an adam, when he's in his full milas of adam, which is when he's being a mispalel, mavazeh adam, he's using his kayach adibur for kedusha. he shouldn't let the nachash pull him down. It's almost like Adam Arishan let the nachash pull him down. Don't let the nachash pull you down. Don't let the nachash stop you from being an Adam. Stop your diva. So that's what we said. That's the whole parsha over here that's going on. When in parshas Va'era, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron to throw down his mata, Esti. Was on the bed. Was.
Why is it
right now? Dafka over here, the whole inyan of the parasha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Aaron, throw down your matzah and it will become a nachash. And the whole point of this whole maifis is to demonstrate the power of Adam to be mezgaber on the nachash, to be stronger than the nachash. Right? So this is the appropriate place to discuss the Mishnah, that the whole din of the Mishnah, the pnimius of the Mishnah is that an Adam shouldn't allow the Nachash to be Mizgabra over him. Rather, he should be Mizgabra over the Nachash. That's the Ilamdeinu Rabbeinu over here. Okay, there's a klal about the makas. Maybe one day we'll do a whole chabura on this klal. It's an incredible thing. Many of the svarim talk about. The pasuk when it's discussing the makas says this lashon of nagayf v'rafay. Pasuk in Yeshaya. Nagayf is the maka. V'rafay is healing. And the Pashav Shad is that the Makas came and then they went away. It came and then it went away. But the Mefarshim explained that the Nogayf V'Rafa is a description of each Makkah. That each Makkah was a Nogayf, was a Makkah for Mitzrayim, and it was a Refuah for Klal Yisrael. That was each Makkah, was a Nogayf for Mitzrayim, V'Rafa for Yisrael. What does that mean? That means that each Makkah, this is a, you know, beyond our scope over here, each Makkah accomplished a certain type of destruction to Mitzrayim, and Klapi, the certain type of destruction that it did to Mitzrayim, it caused that type of Milo to happen to Klal Yisrael. So each Makkah had its specific Matara, what it was bringing down Mitzrayim, or punishing Mitzrayim, and in that Inyan it was perfecting Klal Yisrael. You find that by all 10 Makkahs. That's the I heard Yochanan whisper in the Siva Shalom. You could also look in Reb Tzadok and in Argid El Yo and in Pachad Yitzchak and in many Mechtav El Yo, I think, I don't remember clearly, many other. This is a widespread Yisoid in the Inyan of the Makkas in Mitzrayim. When we find, that's when I was bringing up so many times in the questions, what's the point of this pasuk? What's the point of this pasuk? Because even in the description of the Makkas to Mitzrayim, there's limudim about what happened, what generated positive energy to Klal Yisrael. Even in the description of what was punishing Mitzrayim, the Tzad HaKedusha of that, the Tzad HaTov of that, was affecting Klal Yisrael positively. Okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates an Adam. That's what we've been talking about the whole night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam. What is the job of this Adam, if you have to say it in one word? What is the job of this Adam? The job is, Chazal say, HaKol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz, Miyiras Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus fills the whole world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge of the whole Malchus. Except HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol stepped aside. He said, in the Inyanim of Yiras Shemayim, the Adam is in charge. That's what Adam is for. Chutz Miyiras Shemayim. I once heard that's why the Yom that we say on Yom Shishi, which is when Adam was created, is Hashem Malach, because Adam is the one who made Hashem a Melech. But L'chayr we should say at tomorrow's Yom, we should say Hashem Melech, Hashem is the king. Hashem Malach means Hashem was the king. The pshat is that with the creation of Adam, Kaviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became a little bit less of a king. He used to be a king over the whole world, but now there's a chutz. Now that there's an Adam who has Bechira, HaKol Bidei Shemayim, everything is in the hands of Hashem. Chutz Meiras Shemayim, that's in the hands of Adam. That's Adam's job in the world. And the sum total of Adamim, Nekayim, the Torah, and serving the Rabbanu Shlom, and fulfilling his tafkid, all fits into the words, Yiras Shemayim. Hakol bidei Shemayim, chutz mi Yiras Shemayim. That's chutz, that's the job of Adam. What's Yira? We went through this a few times. The point of Yira means awe or fear. The word Yira also means to see. It's Lashon of Re'iyah. Re'ei, see. The Pshat is like this. The Pshat is that in Shemayim, we know we say Kedusha every day. The tremendous, those who say Yusuf Sfarah say it out even more. Lehedya, Oinim be'eima ve'oimrim be'yira. The Malachim are full of Yira Shemayim. The full Yira Shemayim, the tremendous awe from Hashem. In Shemayim, the presence of Hashem is very clear and apparent. Hashemayim is Safrim Kavoyed Kael. In Shemayim, the presence of Hashem is very, very clear. But in this world, in Olam Hazeh, we don't see the presence of Hashem so clearly. We see nature, we see what we think is coincidences. We don't see the presence of Hashem. Yira is that even when I'm distant from the Melech, even when I'm not experiencing the Melech, it should be as if I'm being Roya, as if I see him. Yira is that my awareness of the Melech should be as complete when I'm not in front of him as when I am in front of him. That to retain that Madrega of Re'iyah, Roya Pnei HaMelech is such a phrase. That's what the similarity in the word Yira and the word Re'iyah. So if the whole inyan that was going on at the beginning of Parashat Shemos is that Pari is being misnaga to the leda of this Adam that's going to accomplish this tafkid of HaKol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Miyiras Shemayim, and the Miyaldas are assisting to this tafkid, the Miyaldas are going against Pari, and they're saying, no, leda is important, and the leda of every year is Chashuv, so we're not, I said that the Pasuk is generalizing it by saying Yiras Shemayim, it's not generalizing it, it's very specific. Or the different Lashonis over there. That it doesn't say Vayhiki Hitzilu Nafshos Yisrael. Because in this parsha, that's the side point. The point is over here that they were being Adam. They were being the true Mahus of Adam. And since the whole parsha that we're discussing over here is the parsha of the Chashivas of the Leda of the true Adam, so the Pasuk says exactly what it is that's special about Adam. Sometimes when a person does an action, the context of the action changes how you'll describe the action. For example, if I'm hungry and someone gives me something to eat, so sometimes I'll say, I'm so grateful he gave me something to eat. And sometimes I'll say, on the same action, I'll say, I'm so grateful he showed me he cared. The same thing. In other words, depending on the surroundings and the situation and the noisin and the makabel and all the different parts of the story, what sticks out to be the point of description of the story is different. So that's what's going on over here. In a regular context, they're being moisin nefesh, it would say vahiki tzilu nafshos Yisrael. But since the context of what's going on over here is that we're laying the groundwork for the leda of an Adam, that's what's going on here, so our description changes. Our description is what's special about an Adam. That they expressed and they showed what's special about an Adam. They showed Yiras Shemayim. So that's why we find in one of the Makas a discussion about Yiras Shemayim. Zokti Ramban, you have to understand how important this Ramban is. I said it was cute before, I'm taking it back now. Now it becomes very important, very meduktik. Zok the Ramban. Yodati, I know. Ki terem tirun mipnei Hashem elikim. Before the makkah goes away, that's when you have Yiras Shamayim. That's not called Yiras Shamayim. To have Yiras Shamayim when you're standing in front of the melech, that's not Yiras Shamayim. While HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishing of Yiras Shamayim, that's not what Adam was created for. That's not the Milo of Adam. That's even a behemoth while you're whipping him will listen to you. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu spells out for Paroi and Nogoy V'Rafay. In all the makas, the chesroinus and the einish that we see for Paroi, it's a description of what's happening the opposite by Kal Yisrael. The opposite is happening to Kal Yisrael. Kal Yisrael is seeing makas, and even long after the makas are over, unfortunately, it wasn't 100%. They did chatoim in the midbar. But even long after the makas over, they're still impressed by the makas. That's Adam. That's Yira. That's doing the tafkid of Adam. Paro is a nachash. He's a non-Adam. As soon as the makas are over, he's back to his old ways. There's a klal. I'm not sure what the shayrish of this klal is. I'm not sure where the source of this klal is. But there's a klal that you could find the taichen of a word. You want to know what the meaning of a word is, you should look at the first place that it's written in the Torah. You ever heard this klal?
Yeah.
On any word, if you want to know what the true meaning of the word is, look at the first place it's written in the Torah. So we have over here this word, Terem Tirun Mifnei Hashem Elikim. What is the word Terem? Where's the first place the word Terem is? So it's in Parshas Bereishis. It says, V'chol siach hasada, and the grass of the field, Terem Yeh Ba'aretz, was not yet before it was in the land. B'chalek Zerashi and the Ramban. Either before or not yet. Before it was in the land. V'chol esav hasada, Terem Yitzmach, before the grass sprouted. Because Hashem did not make it rain on the world. Listen to these words. Ve'odom ayin. And Adam did not exist. There was no Adam. So that's what's going on over here. An amazing, amazing, amazing thing. The whole point of Ve'atem terem yodati, ki terem tirun ifnei Hashem alikim, I know that only while the makkah is going on are you going to have Yiras Shamayim. And that's not an Adam. The first place the word Terem exists is in a pasuk that says, Ve'odam Ayin. That's not an Adam. No Adam. Ve'odam Ayin. It's an incredible thing. The difference between barley and wheat, brought in many places, we discussed this before, is that the Gemara calls barley animal food. That's why an Isha Saita brings a Minchas Sa'irim, because he also Samaisa Behema. Barley is called animal food, and Chita is called Adam food. Lechem is from Chita. Lechem is Adam food. So what was destroyed by the Makkah of Barod? The barley was destroyed. The wheat wasn't destroyed. An amazing thing. In this Makkah that describes the lack of Yiras Shamayim, the lack of Adam, the Adam Ayin of Paroi, it says that the barley was destroyed. The wheat wasn't destroyed. So I once learned that the pshat is that wheat represents Adam, and barley represents behema. The behema was destroyed. The paroi, the mitzrayim, the nachash was destroyed. Se'ira. The chita, hachita v'akusemes, which was the tuminim of chitim, were not destroyed. Why weren't they destroyed? Ki afilo yisema, because they were fresh. They were new. That's the key. That's Yiras Shamayim. That even after the Makkah is over, it shouldn't be that it happened a long time ago. It's as if it just happened. It's fresh. That's the Ma'ala of Adam. Ki Afilo is saying that.
Rashi is too pshat. What
Afilo says
that it's
the
last thing?
That it's the last?
No, that it doesn't... Elastic.
Oh, that's elastic. I think that's the second shot. Okay, that's a different Milo of Adam. That's I'm not gonna. That's gonna be the Rach Kakana of Adam. Stama. But I don't have to see what. But the first shot in Rashi. Let me see that for a second. No, he says both of them together. One is the reason for the other. I feel like saying a mi'ucharos, they were late. And therefore, va'adayin hoyu rachos. And therefore, they were soft. Because they were fresh, therefore they were.
It's one shot.
Then he says, "Umedrash Rav Tanchuma Yesh Rabbi Seinu Shenechla calls Eis V'Dorshu Ki Afilos Ploi Plois Nasu Lahem." It was the Peladig of thing. Shaloi Luku. But the other shot is one shot that they were elastic. They were flexible because they were new. That's what's going on here. That's exactly an answer to Moshe tells Paroi. While the Makkah is going on, then you'll remember about the Makkah. But as soon as the Makkah is over, it's going to be an old story by you. It's not going to be fresh anymore. Also, what got destroyed in the Makkah of Barat? The stuff that was old. But the stuff that was fresh and had its hatches, that didn't get destroyed. It's not just in that even though I was Eimed Lefnei HaMelech yesterday, today I still see the Melech in front of me.
Through the Nisim
that happened. That's Shabbos HaGadol, and I asked about the word Gadol, because people think that the Nes of Shabbos HaGadol was some type of a new Nes in Mitzrayim. That the Yidden were taking the animals to the Karban Pesach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nest, they couldn't do anything, it was like their hands were tied. That's not what was going on here. What was going on is that an Adam was coming into the world. And just like we said before, that an animal can't attack an Adam, the lower form of Adam can't attack the Adam, unless he's Chayte. Just like an animal will attack an Adam that's Chayte, Klal Yisrael also has been attacked. But when there's an Adam coming onto the scene, an Adam, this Adam HaGadol, this great Adam, so that creates a certain paralysis, just like it creates on the animals. That this is a different, this is a higher Bria. And an animal wouldn't attack an Adam. The Mitzrayim, because of the revelation of the greatness of Klal Yisrael, they couldn't attack Klal Yisrael. They couldn't attack Klal Yisrael. That's Shabbos HaGadol. That's Shabbos HaGadol. Esti? Esti?
Yeah?
You want to give him to me?
Just
yeah. You'll take it? Yeah.
We found from my story that some of the Avdi power had brought their mikveh and everything into the house. Into the houses. The Hayari's
to Hashem. Hayari's to Hashem. Einach Adarav, that's... You see Vaitu, that the whole Indian that was going on over there was the Indian of Yira. And in Hanami, some of the Avdi Pari had Yira, and they were less destroyed. They weren't such barley. They were more chita. You see that some of the Avdi Pari had... even those, don't get too carried away. You look in Rashi over there. What?
Yeah, they
came to horses. Ashalai Samlibo. Yeah. And even those, it says it started falling first.
I am.
Give them to Rashi. Are you going to use the He's thrilled.
So we're still
we found my neck.
Gadol's because what was happening here was a haifa of the gadol's of Adam. It was a revelation of the gadol's of Adam.
When he said that even the
the mefarshim say that that's the pshat in Chad Gadya. Just like by Shabbos Hagadol, we're not going to talk about the klavim right now. But by Shabbos Hagadol, by Makas Bechiris, you find a special hadgasha that lo yecharatz kelev l'shoine, that the klavim didn't start up. It's also the same thing. The klavim didn't start up is also the animals backing off from the greatness of Adam. It's an amazing thing, Agav, I have to say, it's an amazing thing. First of all, besides the fact that you find in Bava Kama many times that Nachash and Kelev go together. HaKelev and Nachash in Mishnah is Bava Kama. Seems to be, I don't know what this, I gave one to Chabur about Klavim, I'm giving now Chabur about Nachash. And they are similar, but exactly what the difference and similarities is, I don't know. But also, if you're familiar with pictures of ancient Egypt, the paros, it seems, if the pictures are right, had big snakes on their heads. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? What?
They're probably dogs.
And all the pictures on the walls of the pyramids are all surrounded by dogs. Go to the library and open a book, you'll see. It's not something that's just in one episode. It's all over the place. If you look at the pictures of ancient Egypt, the snakes and dogs. It's an amazing thing. You open a chumash, it's got snakes and dogs. It's amazing.
That's what
today everybody's
getting into dogs while they're having abortion.
That's another truth. Yeah, I'm not wrong about that. So that's the pshat. But asa chutra vehiko lekalba. You say in Chagadiyah, the stick came and he hit the dog. The stick represents the kaima of Adam. That's shaylet over the behemoth. The asa chutra vehiko lekalba. That's the Adam that destroys, that's more powerful than the behemoth. That's the raya I told you, that the mata represents the kaima of a person. There's a story that's like a little bit famous in Waterbury. And the last time I said over the story was last year. I spoke to the women by Shabbos Hagadol last year. And I said this story over for a completely different purpose. I want to say it over for a completely different purpose now, at this point. When David Blum, this is the way I heard the story at least, from a few people, when he was in Eretz Yisrael the first time, he had a baby in Eretz Yisrael. And it's an incredible experience to have a baby. A very, very incredible experience. So the baby was born. And the doctor wasn't from. In Eretz Yisrael, was a doctor wasn't from. So, David Blum, those who know David are not surprised by the story. David turned to the doctor, and he said, "And you still don't believe in Hashem?" Like, he was so, like, overwhelmed. Like, a baby was born. You just can't believe it. Such a nace. "And you still don't believe in Hashem?" So the doctor told him, "You don't know how hard I try not to think about that." So the doctor answered. Amazing. Why am I bringing this story now? I was thinking, when I was putting together this chabura, the birth of a baby to any person is mamish an overwhelming, incredible thing. An incredible thing. Like a new bria. A new bria. Yesh me'ayin. It's an amazing. It's a miracle, like in our regular day-to-day life, Hashem performs miracles. It's a nice.
Is it a nice
song? We learned tonight that by the Leil HaSeder, Yidna are in a matzav of a new Leida, a new Adam is being created that night. It's also a Leida. That's what the whole discussion of the night. And every Leil Pesach, the Kayach of the first Leil Pesach is there. Every Leil HaSeder, the Koyach is there. Can you imagine if we were able to see that? Can you imagine if we were able to experience that, to feel that? The difference that happens to a Yiddish neshama when it hits the first night of Pesach? Can you imagine how good it would be if we would just realize how gadol we are? The creation of a new Adam. An Adam that a guy looks at and he's near Salah Akhira. He can't draw close. An animal won't go near him. Ein aroid memes. Hacha nidmal of kibahema. That's a very, very, very powerful thing that happens at the Leil HaSeder. This is not just the shtickle tire to answer a bunch of questions. This is the part of the neshama of what's going on in Pesach. It's the Leida of Klal Yisrael. And it's not like people think it's not to commemorate and it's not an anniversary. It's an actual, it happens again every year. It's an actual Yetzias Mitzrayim every year. Chayev Adam Lirei Sasatzmei Ki'ilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim. It's not a play, it's because it's happening. A person is being, who knows what a person is accomplishing on the night of the Seder. I think there's nothing. I wish that we could focus on this more. There's nothing that can motivate a person more. Forget about the chesreinus and forget about the, you know, all kinds of things that hold a person back and depression and you read this in the Zman and all of that aside. And Pesach comes, all of that aside. Pesach is a time to focus on how high and how great and how tall and how powerful a Yid is. If we had, we've said this so many times in different inyanim. If we just were able to look things through the right glasses, if we were able to see things the way they really were, so much of our doubts and hesitation and, you know, lack of confidence and so much would just melt away. We would see just the truth, the reality of what we are. We'd wake up Pesach morning, we'd be like Mulei Simcha. Just be so proud and so feel so rich. Rechosh Gadol. We feel so rich and so lucky and so fortunate. And it would just be such a motivation. And it's a very, very, very important yisoid to remember that there's no such a thing as a person saying, I'm nothing. When a person says, I'm nothing, you just know that he's blind. There's no such a thing as a person that's nothing. Every Yid experiences this. Mikatan v'ad gadol. I had some guests Leil Shabbos in the house last week. So one of them told me, it reminded me of this vart, and it's such a, I thought about it a few times over the week, that you could have 9 Moshe Rabbeinus in a room, and you can't say any Davar Shavu Kedusha. It's not a minyan. But you have 10 Pasha the Yid, and they just know how to read the words. Or even if they don't know how to read the words, and you have a minyan. The chashivas of a pashut of pashut yid. There's no such a thing as an empty yid. There's no such a thing as an empty yid. And halachas kama v'kama, people that sit in a yeshiva, they get to learn Torah. There are good times, there are harder times, there are weaker times, there are stronger times. But even the fact that we learn words of Torah is already like beyond. Just the fact that we're yidin. I made this cheshbon. I told him, this guy told this to me, I told him I made this cheshbon once. I said it by Mesil Sisharm recently. Make a cheshbon of the Rashi and Shemais. Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was about to kill the Mitzri. Vayifen koi v'choi, he looked this way and that way. Vayar ki einish, and he saw that there was no man. So Rashi says that he looked at all the dairies that are going to come out of the Mitzri, and he saw that there's not going to be any Yidden, so he killed him. So just make a cheshbon, take out a pen and paper, and make a cheshbon. Imagine that, let's assume that 4 people are born per person. 4. Make a cheshbon. So this mystery, let's say, would have had, if Moshe hadn't killed him, 4 children. And each one of his 4 children would have had 4 children. So that's 20 people, really, in one generation. And each one of those, you know, the last 16 would have each had 4 people, 4 children. And each one of those 4 children would have had, in a very, very short time, even the hundreds of thousands of people. By our generation, would be in the millions of people, of descendants. And Moshe went through all of them. Moshe wasn't a quick thing. Moshe went through all the potential of this person. Millions of people. And he killed them. Millions of people, it's over. But if one of the millions of people, 4,000 years down the line, 3,000 years down the line, there would have been one Yid, then all million people wouldn't have been killed, wouldn't have been prevented from being alive. You really, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, a guy is also Chashiv. But do you realize the proportion over here? The Raimimus, the godless of a Yid? It would have been worth it to Moshe, besides for not killing this Mitzri. He had reason to kill. He had reason to kill this Mitzri. There was a threat over here. He would have saved this Mitzri's life, along with millions of other lives. This is going to be one Yid. What? Yeah, that's what Rashi says. I don't think it's what Rashi says. It's not what Rashi says. Rashi says he is. It doesn't say that he saw that there's not going to be any Rosh Hashiva come out of him. And he is. Some will be in his gayer, and he'll daven three times a day. He'll be in his gayer, that's it. That's it, that's alone. That's true enough to be matzul. Millions and millions of people. And to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu's whole plan. Because there's one day going to be one Yid from this person.
But he didn't have to do that. If he was Chayav Mitzvah already, then, I mean, I don't think Bezin does that.
Okay, so that's not a Yid at this point. I think it's an amazing, amazing thing. Amazing, incredible thing to focus on Pesach. And we could just absorb this. Let it penetrate. Let it become part of us. Pasha, the height, the godless of Yid. My father's Rebbe was Mendel Kaplan's in front of the Rebbe. There's a book about him now. My father has written down, my father's a little black notebook at home, and he has written down little sayings that Mendel used to say. And one of those sayings is, a Yid can fallen und fallen und fallen. A Yid could fall and fall and fall. When alt sein a bar gecher wie a guy, and still be a mountain higher than a guy. There's no comparison, it's a different man. Just the fact that I'm a Yid. The greatness, the godless, the fact that I'm a Yid. That alone is a reason to have such simcha. They say the Gedolim say, some of the Gedolim say that there's two types of simcha. There's a simcha that when a person is doing great, he has more simcha, and when he's not doing so well, he has less simcha. Right, I'm going to finish his mesechta, or he learns gevaldig, he has tremendous simcha. And if he's not learning as well, or if he failed in Yisrael, he has less simcha. That's one type of simcha. But there's another type of simcha, and that's a steady simcha. That's a simcha of Shalai Yasani guy, that I'm a Yid. See, even on the low point, where this first type of simcha is not being failed, I don't have this special simcha that today I made a siyum on Kedushin. I don't have that special simcha today. But even on the low point, there's always this constant simcha shalai yasani guy, that I'm alive, breathing Yid. That alone is already a tremendous point, a tremendous source of simcha. And the source of that source of simcha is Pesach. But the Leil HaSeidi, when we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashate Avde, the Shana Habav B'nei Charin, talking about the Cheiros of Klal Yisrael, it's a good idea to think about what that Cheiros means, and to realize that personally every Yid has the ability to be Meshacher himself from all kinds of drawbacks, hang-ups. You read this through the Avodah and the Tefillah of Pesach, a person has a tremendous opportunity to free himself of those things on Pesach. And to use it as an opportunity to ingrain in himself just the simcha of Shalai Asani Gai is never an excuse. To Halafai, we could live this way. I can imagine my own life, how much transformed it would be. If there will be no such a thing as depression, there's no such a thing. Because there's not a single point. I'm 30 years old and my life, it never happened once that I wasn't a Yid. My entire life, every second of my life, I was a Yid. So every second of my life, I was an Adam. Every second of my life, I was this special, special person. Even when I disappointed myself. And that's a lesson to learn on Pesach. And that's part of the Cheiros of Pesach, where we can free ourselves of these false senses of inferiority and lack of confidence. It would push us up that we would be able to be Zeichet to the other type of Simcha also, of Taka, living a life of Aliyah.